Trapped forever in a body with no mind. These are Zombie Tales. Stories, folklore, legends, leyendas, cuentos y más. This is Spooky Tales. Listen, escuchen at your own risk. Before the episode begins, check out Ladies Fright Podcast for an extra scare.
Oh yes, it's Ladies Fright. We tell spooky stories and try to figure out what about them makes them so scary.
Using personal anecdotes, psychology, and sociology, Lauren, Maggie, and Jackie dive into urban legends, ghost stories, and other tales that give us a good fright.
Because this is Ladies Fright.
Oh, what a fright.
Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, everyone. This is Christina.
And this is MJ.
And this is episode 15 of Spooky Tales. Before we get into this week's topic, let's read some listener letters. Let's call this segment, what should we call it? Spooky's Stories? The Stories of the Spooky.
Spooky. No, Spooky's Stories sound good.
Yeah, so this is from one of our listeners. Let me scroll down here because it's from a while back.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, so sorry, but I have it here. So I forgot to ask if they wanted to stay anonymous. So I will not share their name because I didn't ask. But if they're listening, they're going to recognize their story. So this person sent in this message to us. Hey, I was hearing about your Llorona story and it unlocked a memory. When I was little, my grandpa would say he heard her next to him. And he said when my grandma would go use the restroom when he was sleeping, a figure next to him would say, "Where are my kids? Have you seen my kids?" next to his ears. And he would feel very freaked out and scared when the grandma came back, she'd be like, "What's wrong?" And he would ask her, "Oh, was that you who was saying this?" But it wasn't. So that's creepy.
That is unsettling. That is, yes. Like, that's a no. It's a nope.
Oh, you know what? I have one more thing to add. So I was the TikTok babies that follow us on TikTok. That's what I call Gen Z, by the way. TikTok babies.
They are.
They asked for a story from Stockton. And so Stockton, California. And so I found a haunted Burlington's Coat Factory story. And it's very fun. It's just they say that this little girl haunts the toy section and the baby clothes section. And employees, they think they've seen her. And so then in the comment section, there was a bunch of stories of like people, "Hey, my Burlington's is creepy. I get a weird vibe. And this reminds me of my local Burlington's Coat Factory." So I was Christmas shopping with my mom, right? And we were just walking into the store. Nobody was around us. And out of nowhere, I hear this little laugh, like a little kid laugh. And I turned and I was like, "What the fuck was that?" Just freaked out. And my mom was like, "Oh my God, cálmate. No fue nada. No seas exagerada. Like, don't exaggerate. That was nothing." And I was like, mom, but did you hear that?" And she was like, "Yeah, I heard it. I wasn't going to say anything because you were going to start acting like a baby." And I was like, "Okay, but who was that? What was that? There's nobody around us." And then as I'm like freaking out, these two ladies are walking up to us, but I don't see them yet. And they start singing. And I heard the singing and I yelled and I was like, and then the two ladies just start laughing like crazy because they're like, "What is wrong with you?" But what was wrong with me is that I heard a disembodied laugh next to my freaking ear.
I'd be terrified too. I feel like, I don't know, Burlington does give off that vibe. Maybe there's like some
right. Are all Burlington's co-factories haunted? Hey, if anyone out there has another Burlington's co-factory story, please send it to us at spookytales@gmail.com. Today we're talking about zombies.
Woo, zombies, one of my favorites.
I do love zombies. Although after researching this, I had like I had no idea about the true origin of zombies. So now I'm like, I still enjoy zombie things, but now I don't know. Iffy. It's like a different lens.
You're like iffy about it.
Do you have a favorite like zombie show, movie, or
just
like
Resident Evil?
Nice.
I used to like for my birthdays, for some reason around my birthday, because my birthday's in September. It's like when all the Halloween movies come out. And I would beg, I mean, absolutely beg my parents to take me to see zombie movies. And I would always pick the Resident Evil one. Like, or anything horror. Like, that's just my thing.
We went to watch Dawn of the Dead all together. I used to really like The Walking Dead until like the last, I don't know, when they killed, what was his name?
I have no idea. I never watched it.
He was my favorite character.
I could never get into
it. Oh, you didn't?
I could never get into it.
Oh, was it too boring? Because I watched one episode with my husband and he was talking shit the whole time. He was like, these zombies are so slow. The show is so boring. And I was like, never watch this with me again.
I just couldn't get into the storyline. Like, it looks good. But I'm like, how the hell did all of you get infected when they walk like that slow?
that was his thing. Yeah. Why do they walk so slow?
And sometimes you're just like there waiting for them to catch up, and that's how you become a zombie. I'm like convinced 99% of people just are like, yeah, let's just become zombies. Might as well. So I could never get into it.
Yeah, I think before that, I really liked Dawn of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another one before that from like the 90s. What was that called? I like that one too, whatever it's called, that I can't remember the name of.
Land of the Dead?
Okay, I guess that is it. Yeah. But to get past all this modern zombie talk, let's get into the history of zombies. So today we see zombies everywhere, right? Like movies, books, TV shows, games. What's that one game? To go back into now, what's that one game? There was like a guy and a little girl that he finds, and they're like, it's like a zombie game. What the hell is that game called? Oh my God, The Last of Us.
Oh, there's the... There's a lot.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Anyway, books, shows, movies, video games, right? Night of the Living Dead is credited as the movie that kicked off the zombie, modern zombie, and like the zombie craze that we, you know, now have. But tales of the zombie can be dated back to Haiti in the 17th century during the colonization of Haiti. So the colonizing French called it Saint-Domingue?
I think so.
That, okay, I was like, I don't know if I said that right.
Listen, we don't speak French, so don't.
Yeah.
Don't tell us anything.
Don't come for us, as MJ would say.
Don't at me.
The colonizing French called it Saint-Domingue, and they kidnapped enslaved Africans to work the sugarcane plantations because, God forbid, they worked their own plantations, right? So the colonization of Haiti and the treatment of the enslaved there was brutal. It was, by the time, like, within 2 years of the original people that they abducted to, you know, become enslaved, over half of them were dead within 2 years, which led the French to, it's brutal. And this only led them to go steal more people.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you think about it now, this is the origin of the zombie. It comes from this. And the horrible conditions that the enslaved went through in Haiti, they have been completely whitewashed and just essentially erased, because you have no idea looking at the zombie now that this is where it came from. The folklore of the zombie was brought into Haiti from enslaved Africans, where in West and South Africa, they believed in zombie-like creatures, where it was really just a trapped soul in a body. Like, it was a trapped... It was like a body without a mind, and that's it. They called them, and I am probably going to not say these right, because I couldn't even find mention of them anywhere else except the article I read, but Zida Chain and Muddock Swain, It's like XIDASHANE is one, and MADUXWANE is the other one. But they mean the same thing. They're just from different regions of Africa.
Oh.
But this myth came from when rail lines were built in Africa. They were being built, and it was said which trains transported workers, but delivered them as Zida chain. I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm saying that horribly wrong. And this meant zombies to work as enslaved forever. So just like this mindless body working. And then in Haitian folklore, zombies were not mindless beings that, you know, lived only to consume the flesh of others. They were mindless beings condemned to work the plantations for eternity, because the enslaved believed that death would free them back to Africa, but they could not take their own life, because if they took their own life to escape slavery, they would become a zombie. So someone trapped forever as an undead body, working the plantation as an undead being. So not even in death would they be able to escape the conditions they were in.
Hmm.
So they were not these things that, you know, ate other people and needed to eat people. And that's all they thought about. They were trapped. It was like the fear of enslavement is what drove this myth.
Oh.
So they, after death, if they died by suicide, they were going to still work or still be enslaved. And it wasn't until the Haitian Revolution in 1804 that the folklore of the zombie was woven into voodoo religion. So then the myth evolved into the belief that zombies were living undead. They were reanimated by shamans, voodoo priests, or sorcerers known as Bokor.
Oh, yeah, I saw that too. I don't know. Bokor.
I think so. Bokor, maybe. I'm going to say Bokor. And I'm so sorry if anyone is listening and they're like, you're saying this so wrong, you loser.
We know we're saying it wrong.
We know. So these sorcerers, they were known to revive the dead to do their tasks or their labor. And so, again, it continues with you're doing the work of someone else as someone who's not alive. You're still essentially enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after the revolution, many, many times, Haiti was like on the brink of reinstating slavery. And the myth of the zombie was still something that was like tied to the fears of colonized Haiti and slavery. They feared, instead of fearing enslavement for eternity at the hands of the French, you know, they feared enslavement at the hands of a Bokor as a zombie. It was believed that salt would free a zombie. So the Bokor had to keep the zombie's food bland and tasteless.
I've heard that too.
Not brain eating zombies. They ate food. It was just bland. If a zombie under Bokor control tasted salt, the scales of death over their eyes would fall off and life would immediately return to their bodies and they would be free.
It seems like a chemical reaction, like, to something.
Yeah. Good food in Haiti is equated to freedom, and maybe that's why they have good food. Yeah, over there.
Right? My mom and dad have a friend who's Haitian, and he he owns like a restaurant. This is in Berkeley, and my parents would bring like Haitian food home. Oh my god, so good. So good.
Right. But yeah, that's why it's like seasoned so well, because, you know, seasoned food was freedom.
It really is.
And to this day in Haiti, people still say that, like, people that are suffering from mental illnesses are believed to be zombies. And it kind of reminded me of, like, how in other places, other countries, sometimes people, like, that are schizophrenic or going through, like, a psychotic episode,
mm-hmm.
or they're confused with demonic possessions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think it's the same idea here. The movie White Zombie, it was released in 1932. And this was the first movie to bring the idea of the Haitian zombie to white audiences. And it's also the first to use a white person to control zombies or make zombies, you know, make people mm-hmm. zombies. The plot, and I had never heard of this movie, so I looked at the plot up, the plot, just to explain it to everyone. So the plot of the movie goes like this. A young woman goes to Haiti to meet her fiancé, and they are on their way to stay at someone else's plantation. On their way, an evil voodoo master named Murder, that's his name, Murder.
Oh, lovely.
So you know he's evil.
No, sure.
Yeah. He takes an interest in the couple. And so then they arrive to the plantation, which I'm assuming it's their friend's plantation. I don't know. This wasn't explained very well. But they arrive there, and it turns out the guy that owns the plantation is in love with the woman. And it's unbeknownst to her or her fiance that he meets with Murder at his plantation. And his plantation is all worked by zombies that he controls. So the guy meets with Murder and asks him to make the woman fall in love with him with the use of voodoo. And so then Murder, who is already like used to making zombies, he's like, no problem. I'm just going to turn her into a zombie so that she'll marry you instead of her fiance. And they use a potion. So they give her the potion. She drinks it. She gets married to her actual fiance, but then she dies because of the potion. And so then Murder and the other guy go dig up her body and bring her to the guy's, to Murder's plantation, where the guy that wanted her, it now has her as a zombie, but then he begins regretting it. And then, yeah, the movie just goes from there. But that's the main plot, really.
That's like kidnapping and rape, yeah. Probably. Oh,
right. Yeah. Oh, the whole shebang. And this movie is still using the original folklore minus whitewashing it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's still people without a mind that can be controlled, but it's mm-hmm. not flesh-eating zombies yet still. Mm-hmm. And this movie was based on a book called Magic Island, written by William Seabrook. And he was hoping to make a quick buck on the beliefs of another culture. So
as per usual. I feel like we have a lot of like writers who do not know the history, who do not know the cultural background, and they just write a huge ass mess. Like I haven't even watched the Yorona. Yeah, like I haven't
it's
even
bad,
watched
it. I'm telling you. They completely changed the folklore behind La Llorona and made it into something else, like a weird monster.
That's what I hate, okay? Because like there's it's not just like, you know, stories, because I mean, like us on the Spooky Tales, but a lot of the stories that we tell are very interconnected to people's culture and people's beliefs. So it's not like something that you could just pick up and be like, and oh, change, well, I'm, right? Yeah, and change. It has its story. It has its origin. And there's a, you know, to people, there's a reason behind why the story happened.
Yes. And like this, the folklore of zombies, a lot of these stories and legends stem from colonization. So how can a person whose ancestors were the ones colonizing, how can they understand the pain, you know, that went behind it, the pain that fueled the myth? They can't, right? It's the same with when we told the story of El Cadejo, right? Mm-hmm. We mentioned its indigenous roots. We mentioned how it's tied to colonization. But then mm-hmm. you hear an episode of all white people talking about El Cadejo, and they're laughing about this. They're making jokes about this. They're blowing it off and not even mentioning like, oh, you know why this belief came to be? Because mm-hmm. the Spanish were murdering indigenous people with a giant black dog.
Exactly.
And this is what happened to zombies.
And it happens a lot because like the dog thing, like a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Columbus, whatever. And it's like, you guys, he literally used to have his dog eat children. Okay. Yeah. Like this stuff is not like a joke. He would like bury babies up to, okay, this is going to get really graphic. He used to bury babies off, you know, up to their heads. So, you know, only their heads are exposed. And him and his crew would like kick the babies' heads off. They would have the dogs eat the babies in front of them, indigenous babies. So this whole thing about like, you know, if you're going to cover a story that pertains to another culture, like for instance, me, I am Mexicana, but we cover on the Spooky Tales from different countries. but you will never like see me like being like, oh, I'm just going to go over this and like dissect it and, you know, tell you what it should be. No, we do our research. We learn where it comes from. Yeah, there's a few things that are like out of here and we're going to be shocked about it, but it doesn't mean we still don't want to know and don't want to expose the story for what, how it came to be, I guess.
Yeah. So, and that is what William Seabrook did when he wrote the book called Magic Island, which the movie is based on, which is, this was the first movie that really showcased the Haitian zombie, but he whitewashed it. So it's not the real thing, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, while it still incorporates the idea of someone being enslaved to someone else, it's still really whitewashing it and making it lighter, you know? So if you fast forward years later, right, the truth behind the folklore of the zombie, the horrible deaths of all the enslaved, and the origin of the myth that stems from the horrific experience of colonized Haiti, it's forgotten completely. It's not even the same idea of the zombie anymore. We now have all these shows, like we already mentioned a few, but like The Walking Dead, right? The Last of Us, whatever. And now this original myth story that was created out of a traumatic history has become this like idea of escapism, especially like, yeah, here, you know, in the United States. So instead of being about people that have zero controls of their own bodies and they're seeking death as an escape, it's now like humans surviving an apocalyptic scenario where the existence of humans solely depends on this group of people to survive. And this idea of the apocalypse is like, oh, this is a new start, a new life, fewer people on Earth, no more pollution. It's all about survivalism, you know? And it just, it doesn't...
It took a lot of the essence out of it, yeah. Because I feel like it cheapens it. I mean, don't get me wrong, the plot is good. Like, you know, survivalism or whatever. But the legit history behind zombies has such a very deeper meaning. Like, it's very dark, very like,
yeah,
your life is so horrible that you'd rather die. Like, how,
right? Yeah, exactly. And you know, it just doesn't escape me that this new form of, you know, escapism and fantasy and apocalypses, and it's like so far from the origin of the zombie. It's like the opposite, you know. These people were escaping their lives and preferring death because death was gonna free them back to Africa. And now people are like, oh, we need a new plague.
No, I agree. And then especially because you have that, like, this, the savior of the movie, if you know,
is always white.
It's like, half of you like freak out. Like this week, everybody was freaking out over a goddamn potato.
Wait, what? Did I miss something?
Yeah, like Mr. Potato. They took out the Mr. and now it's just Potato Head.
Oh my God. Yeah. And people are freaking, who cares? It's a potato. First of all, potatoes don't have genitals. So how do you even determine it?
No, but I'm like, you guys are already freaking out over a damn toy potato. You guys are not surviving the damn apocalypse. Just stop.
But yeah, that is the history that I researched of zombies.
Okay.
And you know what? That's not to, I don't know, because some people, there's like voodooism gets like a bad rap. But it's just another religion, you know, with its own beliefs. When we've said this, I think you have said this before, but there's bad Catholics, bad Christians, right? So, and this episode and zombies and when we talk about the Bokor and, you know, using zombies to do their bidding, it's not to trash voodooism at all.
No, this particular person that was just happened to be part of this religion was a shitty ass person. That's it.
Right.
So my turn then? Yes. Okay. So the story I found, and I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher it. I am terribly sorry. I do not speak French. Okay. Is about a man named Clervius Narcisse. And it's a pretty well known zombie story. I've heard of this before in past years. And it takes place in Haiti on April 30th, 1962. Clervius admitted himself to the hospital. He had a fever and was coughing up blood. The staff couldn't find, you know, reasons for his symptoms. And it was an American, this particular hospital happened to be run by Americans. So it was like a, like, what is it? Doctors Without Borders or something like that. But anyways, they were legit. They knew what they were doing. I think. three days later, after he was admitted to the hospital, he passed away. They just thought he died. His family, you know, did a burial, all this jazz. And then in 1980, a man claiming to be Clervius Narcisse walked up to Angelina Narcisse, claiming to be her brother. He knew things that only Clervius would know, so he convinced his entire village that it was him. And he was able to validate his identity. He claimed that he had been paralyzed but conscious that the entire time he was gone. During his quote-unquote death and burial. And I paused on this because I was like, can you imagine being paralyzed? Everybody thinks you're dead. You know what's going on, and you know you're being put into a coffin. You know you're being put underground, and there's nothing you can do about it. That is terrifying. That is true fear.
Yeah,
that is like scary. And you can't move, you can't scream, you can't say, hey, I'm alive. Oh, and but you're like, right. You're conscious. Oh my god, like I just read this and I was like, I got scared because I was like, that is terrifying. So he was later dug up and forced to work on a sugar plantation. According to Clervius, he was given a paste like to consume, and which is speculated to be something called datura. Which is a poisonous flower when consumed in some dosages can cause hallucinations and memory loss. The Bokar, or the voodoo witch, died. And once he stopped taking the regular paste, he slowly began to like fully be able to control his body and regain full consciousness. After 16 years, he finally returned to his family. It is speculated that this can happen with pufferfish poison too, and as well as datura, as stated before. These toxins have been known to affect people and make them zombie-like, but nonetheless of what these people believe in. It is slavery, and I've heard many stories of this, like, you know, people being given these poisons, but these, like, substance.
Toxins.
It is very similar to human trafficking. And also, we don't know what could happen to these people while, you know, the guy who was 16 years as a zombie. Like, what did he experience that he does not remember? So it is slavery in my eyes. Even if they make the excuses that, oh, he was a sinful person, because as I was researching this man's story, they say and they believe that he was turned into a zombie because he was sinful, because he abandoned his children. And though, yes, that makes him a shitty person, slavery and this weird section of human trafficking is never okay.
Right.
So this is like comes from me. When I used to study veterinary medicine, my professor once told us that rabies virus was theoretically, you know, you could tweak it to make it act like a zombie kind of virus.
You know, that makes sense because like after like the third, no, what is it? The third day of rabies? That,
yeah.
Like, the mouth foams. They just want to like bite things and then you infect someone else with it.
Yeah. And it's a hydrophobic virus. So basically what that means is you can be thirsty as hell. Well, I think it affects the human in a different way, but this is how it affects animals. Like the animals can be thirsty. I mean, I'm talking about completely dehydrated, wanting water. And the virus will not let them drink water.
If you've watched The Office, the the episode where they do the fun run cure for rabies for Meredith, Michael Scott, at some point, he's like, there are people out there with rabies who are afraid to drink water and nobody should live like that. That's what he says.
I mean, he's not wrong. That's what it does. But yeah. I think it affects humans a different way. If I remember correctly, you get like these horrible like fevers and stuff, and then like by the third, fourth day you die. And there's a treatment for it, and it sometimes works. No, but this treatment, I forgot what it was called, but this treatment sometimes works. It doesn't work all the time. Oh, and shit. I think okay. It has to be caught within like the first 2 days.
Because that's what I was about to say. It has to be on the first day.
Yeah, because after that, I mean, even if you get your ass to a hospital, you're dead. You're dead. I don't know if he was pulling my leg. I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like, if this was somehow, like, this virus was somehow able to, like, fully become a zoonotic where it affects animals. It affects humans the same way it does animals. I feel like it's reaching. I'm not sure, though. Yeah. If you're like a virologist, please let us know. I want to know. I feel like sometimes same. Like my professor was pulling my leg, and I hope he was because fuck that. But there was a one thing that did stick with me, and I remember what my professor talking about, that there's a fungus. And after I learned this fact, I was terrified, and I was like, I remember I stayed up like 2 days just going over the notion like, holy shit, if this happens, we're fucked. But there's a fungus that infects insects called, and I'm going to butcher the shit out of this, Ophiocordyceps. This fungus pretty much takes control over the insects' minds. And it's most common in ants. And they're called ant zombies.
I was about to ask if that's where this is going. So, okay.
So, from what I know, ants, when they get sick or when they are sick with something, they leave the colony to die alone. To whatever infection or disease they have, to make sure it's called a colony? Yeah, their colony is not infected. Yeah. So what this fungus does is pretty much take over the ant's brain and makes the ants go back to the colony to infect the entire thing. And the fungus grows everywhere. So I'm talking about it's growing inside them and outside them. So and it basically grows to the point where it just kills off the host body.
I'm guessing this spore that or the fungus that does this wants to like spread its spores, right, or something. That's why it wants the ant to go back.
Yeah, and there's nothing the ant can do.
Oh, yeah, that's a real life zombie right there.
And then my professor was like, "Can you imagine if this fungus successfully?" is able to be transmitted to a human. Like, what would happen? If you come to think about it, like, say someone who's infected with this all over their body just runs into a crowd of, like, say 25 people. They're all infected.
Yeah, and you know they would, because we have people not wearing masks spreading corona everywhere. So, that if you told them, don't run into a group of people because you're going to make them zombies, they would just, like, you can't tell me what to do. And they would go.
We already know, like, there's always that person who, there's always that person in, like, horror zombie movies that keep their infection silent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bite. Yeah. The non-mask wearers are those people.
As I was saying, this fungi, whatever you want to call it, has 48 million years attacking ants. So hopefully it's going to be another 48 million years before he even decides to, go to humans.
That's a long time.
But then
we'd
probably be all dead by then. We'd probably be dead by then, though.
There's a really good book called The Girl with All the Gifts. That's kind of like a plant, like its spores spread and it causes zombies. It's really good. I enjoyed the book.
Oh, or you know what else it reminds me of? The Happening, where like people start killing themselves. The one with Nicolas Cage with the end of the world apocalypse.
Yeah.
Knowing. That's what it was called.
Oh my God. Those names are so similar. They both end in ING.
I think that's it. Do you have anything else?
I have one more thing. Yeah, there's this disease or mental illness, I guess. I don't know what the right word is. Illness, maybe? Yeah. It's called Cotard's syndrome. It's C-O-T-A-R-D-S. And people with this condition, they believe that their skin is rotting and that they decomposing, that they're already, and they believe they're already dead, and it causes them to act like zombies.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yes, I've heard of this. There's also oh God, I was on that that girl on YouTube who's a mortician, and she does all that stuff. She was like talking about how there's like people who have like a mental illness that's that they think they're dead, like legit dead. And I was like, what?
It's not really. Is it this one?
It might be that one. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it sounds like it.
It probably is. But I don't remember like the rotting thing. I just kind of remember like they were like, they thought they were dead.
Yeah, it's like they're not, their skin's not actually rotting or decomposing. They just think it is and they believe they are dead. Sometimes people in a catatonic schizophrenic episode are also believed to be zombies.
We did have those Florida zombies at one time.
The ones fucking eating bath salts. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was crazy. There was like legit videos of people literally eating people in the streets. Did you watch them? Oh my God. It was unsettling.
No, I did not watch them because I was like, nope. Nope, nope, can't deal with it.
I don't know why I opened them. But yeah, I think we covered a good amount. History of zombies, real life, you know, quote unquote, real life zombies. So this was good, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know either. I had no idea. And I was like, what? But now I kind of like the original meaning better. And I think we need to come, like, as a whole, as a zombie lover, fan lovers, whatever, need to come back to original sentiment to that, which is, like, these people were suffering so much that they literally would probably pray that they died instead of continuing living the life that they lived.
Yeah. We don't have a topic for next week, huh? We can pick it. We can pick it later because we're having internet issues. Yeah. I usually like to say, oh, next week we're going to talk about this, but you won't find out this time because we're having internet issues.
It's going to be a surprise.
It will be a surprise. Before we go, don't forget, if you can, donate to MJ's GoFundMe. It will be linked in the show notes from now on in every single episode, so it will be there. Share it if you can't. Please share it. Check out Spooky Tales merch if you want. There's a No Mames shirt. There's one with the Spooky Tales logo. There's another one. I'm working on another one that's going to say Stay Spooky. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Thank you guys for listening.
Oh my God. Yeah. Do we ever think our listeners are spookies?
Do we? I don't know. I'm sorry if we don't, but know that we love you and we appreciate you.
We do. We do. I don't have like a funny little line to say like, oh, don't get attacked by this. So let's just end this episode with stay a spooky.
Yeah, stay a spooky and send us your spooky tales if you have one.
And catch us next week.
Bye.
Bye.